Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Martel, reading Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnell. Chapter 45 of The Coming of Adam Penfeather. In the shadow of the cliff below our hiding place, crept divers of these pirate rogues, and crouching there cheek by jowl, fell to a hoarse mutter of talk, yet all too low for us to catch. But presently there brake out a voice high-pitched, the which I knew for that of Smiling Sam.
"We'm done, lads, I tell ye. Oh, love my lights, we'm done. 'Tis the end of we since Penfeather hath took the ship, and here's us shall lie marooned to perish of plagues or Indian savages or hunger, unless, lads, unless—"
"Unless what, Smiler?"
questioned one eagerly. "Unless we am up and doing. Penfeather do lack for men. Ming says he counted but 10 at most when they boarded him. Well, mates, what do you say?"
"Ah, do you mean fight, Smiler? Fallen him by surprise or recapture the ship?"
"Ha! Oh, bless my guts, no! Penfeather aren't to be caught, so not him. He'll have warped out from the anchorage by this. But he be short-handed to work the vessel overseas, 'tis a seeking o' likely lads and prime sailormen is Penfeather. And we sits on these yere sands. Well, mates, on these yere sands we be. But what's took us up on these yere sands? The boats lie yonder. Well,
where be you heading up now, Smiler? Where's the wind? Talk plain."
"Why, looky, y'all, if Penfeather wants men as wants 'em, he doff. What's to stay or let us from rowing out to Penfeather? Soft and quiet, and listing ourselves along a Penfeather. And watch our chance to heave Penfeather overboard and go a-roving on our own account. Well?"
At this was sudden silence, and thereafter a fierce mutter of whispering, lost all at once in the clatter of arms and breathless scuffling as they scrambled to their feet. For there within a yard of them stood Tressidy, hand grasping the dagger in his belt, his glittering hook tapping softly at his great chin as he stared from one to the other of them.
"Ah, my pretty lambs," says he, coming a pace nearer, "will ye sulk, then? Will ye skulk with your fool's heads together?
What now?
Mutiny, is it?
Mutiny? What's come of my prisoner, Martin? I don't spy him hereabouts."
Now at this they shuffled, staring about, and upon each other, and as I think missed me for the first time.
"You, Tom Purdy, step forward, so.
Now where's the prisoner, as I said I your charge? Where, my merry bird, where?"
The fellow shrank away, muttering some sullen rejoinder that ended in a choking scream as Tressidy sprang, then I, knowing what was toward, clasped my lady to me, covering her ears that she might not hear those ghastly bubbling groans, yet felt her sweet body shaking with the horror that shook me.
"So there's an end to Tom Purdy, my bullies," gasped Tressidy, stooping to clean his hook in the sand. "And I did it, looky, because he failed me once, do you see?
Who'll be next?
Who's for mutiny? You, Sammy? You, huh? No, Cap'n Pipe, Smiling Sam, must do be but contriving a ways and means, seeing as Penfeather do it took our ship, curse him. And what though he has, 'tis we have the island, and 'tis on this island lieth Black Bartlemy's treasure, and 'tis the treasure we're after. As to ways and means, here we be 30 and 8 to Penfeather's 14, and in a little 'twill be dark, and the gun shan't serve 'em. And then, ha, look yonder, The fools be coming into our very clutches to cover, lads. Look to your primings. Wait my word.
Now, glancing whither he pointed, I saw above the adjacent headland the tapering spars of a ship. Slowly she hove into view. Boltsprit, forecastle, waist and poop, until she was plain to view. And I knew her for that same black ship that fouled us in Deptford Pool. She was standing in for the island under her lower courses only, although the wind was very light, but on she came, and very slowly until she was so near that I might see the very muzzles of her guns. Suddenly, with a cheery yo-hoing, her yards were braced around, her anchor was let go, and she brought to opposite Skeleton Cove, and within fair pistol shot. Now glancing below, I saw Tressidy stand alone, and with abnegation Mings huddled at his feet. But in the gloom of the cave, and to right and left, in every patch of shadow, and behind every bush and rock, was the glimmer of pistol or musket barrel, and all leveled in the one direction. Presently, up to the lofty poop of the ship, clambered a short, squat man in marvelous wide breeches, with a great cutlass on hip, who, clapping, speaking trumpet to mouth, roared amain.
Ahoy, the shore! We be short-handed! Now what rogues of ye will turn on us mariners and list to board us for England? Who's for a free pardon in old England?
Hereupon, from bush and shadow and rock, I heard a whisper, a murmur, and the word England oft repeated. Tressidy heard it also, and stepping forward, he drew a long furrow in the sand with the toe of his shoe.
Lucky, my hardy boys, says he, pointing to this furrow with his hook, the first man has set his foot athwart this line. I send a hellfire along a Tom Purdy yonder.
Ahoy, the shore, roared God be louder than ever. Who's for an honest life, a free pardon, and a share in Black Bartlemy's treasure? Or shall it be a broadside? Here be every gun full charged with musket balls, and 'tis point-blank range. Which shall it be?
Once again rose a murmur that swelled to an angry muttering, and I saw smiling Sam come creeping from the shadow of the cave.
"Oh, Cap'n," he piped, "'tis a plaguey desperate business. Here some of us like to be bloody corpses. But I'm with you, Cap'n Roger, whether or no, 'tis me to your back."
"To my back, Sammy? Why, so you shall, lad, so you shall, but I'll have your pistols first, smile or so."
And whipping the weapons from the great fellow's belt, Tressidy gave them to Abnegation Mings, where he lay in the shelter of a rock, and sitting down crossed long legs, and cocked an eye at the heavens.
"Hardy's all," quoth he, "the moon sinketh apace, and 'twill soon be ill shooting for them in the dark. So with dark, 'tis us for the boats, muffled oars, and we clap 'em aboard by the forechains larboard and starboard, and the ship is ours, bullies, ours."
"Well and good, Cap'n," piped smiling Sam, "but how if she slip her cable and stand from us?"
"And how shall she, my fool lad, and the wind dropped? The wind's failed 'em, they lie helpless."
"And that's gospel true, Cap'n, aye, aye. We am with you. Give us the word, Cap'n,"
quoth divers voices in fierce answer.
"Oh, sing it me," groaned Mings. "Here lies poor Abnegation, shattered, alow and aloft. Oh, burn me, here's luck. But you'll take me along, Roger. If death boards me tonight, I'd rather go an honest fight than lying here like a sick dog. So you'll have me along, Roger?"
"Aye, that I will, lad, that I will. And ahoy, the shore!"
roared Godby's great voice again.
"Let them rogue dogs, they'll turn honest mariners, them as is for England and a free pardon, stand by to come aboard and lively. In 10 minutes we open fire where every gun is bears.
Now here there break forth a clamor of oaths, cries, and dismayed questioning.
Lord love us, what now, cabin? Is us to be murdered? Look ye, do men we be, lads? Shall us wait to be shot, mates? What shall us do, cabin? What shall us do?
Lie low, quoth Trusty, rising. Bide still all, and let no man stir till I give word. In half an hour or less, 'twill be black dark. Very well, for half an hour I'll hold him in parley. I'll speak him smooth and mighty friendly. There shall be no shooting. I'll hold him till the moon be down, and Smiler shall come with me. Come on, Sammy lad, come.
So saying, he turned, and I watched him stride out upon that spit of sand hard by Bartlemy's tree, and this great fat fellow trotting at his heels. Upon the edge of the tide, Tressidy paused, and hailed long and cheerily.
Penfeather, ahoy! Oh, Adam Penfeather, here come I, Roger Tressidy, for a word with you. Look'ee, Adam, we've fought and run afoul of each other this many a year, aye, half round the world, and all for sake of Black Bartlemy's treasure, as is mine by rights, Adam. Mine by rights. Well, now, tonight, let's you and me, let's make an end for once, and for all, one way or t'other. Now, there's you in my ship, true, Adam, true, but here's me by the island and the treasure, Adam, and the treasure. And what then? Why, then, says I, let's you and me either come to some composition or fight it out. Man to man, Adam, man to man, so come ashore, Captain Penfeather. You is dooby blacker pirate than ever was Bartlemy. Come out on yonder reef alone with me, and end it one way or t'other. Come ashore, Adam, come ashore if you dare adventure. Ahoy, you, Tressidy, roared Godby in reply. Captain Adam is ashore with you this moment. Look astern of you, you rogue.
Round sprang Tressidy, as out from the dense shadow of Bartlemy's tree stepped Adam Penfeather himself. He stood there in the moonlight very still, and viewing Tressidy with head grimly outthrust, his arms crossed upon his breast, a pistol in the fist and deadly menace in every line of his small, spare figure.
"I am here, Tressidy," says he, his voice ringing loud and clear, "and I am come to make an end of you this night. It hath been long a-doing, but I have ye at last, Roger." "Be sure, Adam, so sure? As death, Tressidy, for I have ye secure at last." "Bleed me, but you're out there, Adam, you're out there, boots on t'other leg. Hereabouts do lie 38 of my lads watching of ye this moment with finger on trigger."
"I know it," says Adam, nodding, "but there's never a one dare shoot me, for the first shot fired ashore shall bring a whole broadside in answer, do you see? But as for you, Tressidy, pray if you can, for this hour you hang."
"Hang, is it, Adam?" says Tressidy, with swift glance toward the sinking moon. "And who's to do it? Who?
There be 38 shall swing ye aloft so soon as I give him the word, Tressidy."
"You do talk rank folly, Adam, folly, and you know it," says he, smiling and stealing furtive hand to the dagger in his girdle. "But an I should die this night, I take you along with me, and you can lay to."
But he got no further, for Smiling Sam and Marvelous Nimble whipped up a stone, and leaping on him from behind, smote him 2 murderous blows, and staggering helplessly, Tressidy pitched forward upon his face, and lay upon the verge of the incoming tide. Beholding his handiwork, Smiling Sam uttered a thin, high, shrilling laugh, and spitting upon that still form, kicked it viciously.
"Aho, Captain Penfeather," cries he, "'tis the Smiler hath saved ye the labor, looky. 'Tis Sam hath finished Tressidy at last, and be damned to him. And now 'tis the Smiler as do be the first to list with ye.
and he began to shamble across the sands. But passing that rock where crouched Abnegation Mings, he tripped and fell. And I saw the flash of Abnegation's knife, as they rolled and twisted in the shadow of this rock, whilst from this shadow rose a shrill crying, like the wail of a hurt child. And into the moonlight came a great fat hand that clutched and tore at the sand, then grew suddenly still, and with crooked fingers plunged deep into the sand like a white claw. Then, tossing aside his bloody knife, Abnegation Ming struggled to his feet and came staggering to kneel above his comrade Tersity and to turn up the pallid face of him to the moon. And now Adam thrust away his pistols and, with hands clasped behind him, turned to face the gloomy shadows of Skeleton Cove. "Come out, sons of dogs," says he. "Step forward and show yourselves, and lively it is." Ensued a moment's breathless pause, then from bush and shadow and rocks they stole forth, these 38, and at Adam's harsh command lined up before him shoulder and shoulder. "Well," says Adam, pacing slowly along their rank to peer into every sullen hangdog face, "am I captain here, aye or no?" "Aye, aye," they cried in eager chorus. "And us was promised a free pardon, captain," quoth one. "And a share of the treasure," says another. "And England, captain," cried a third. "Oh, there's some honest do be on a sailor men and forced to turn pirate in spite o' we. Avast," says Adam. "What I promise, I stand by. But mark this, let any man fail of his duty to me but once, and I shoot that man or hang him out of hand. Is understood?" "Aye, aye, captain, 'tis agreed. We'll serve ye faithful and true," they cried. "Why, then bring ropes," says Adam, and with his new listed men at his heels, goes whither lay Tressidy, and with Abnegation Mings yet crouched above him. What now was doing I might not see by reason of the crowd, but I heard the voice of Mings upraised in fierce invective, and the throng presently parting beheld him trussed hand and foot, and dragged along with Tressidy towards Bartlemy's tree. There a noose was set about the neck of each, and the rope's ends cast over a branch. But as at Adam's command these three miserable wretches were hauled aloft to their deaths, my lady uttered a cry of horror and grasped my arm in desperate hands. "Martin," she panted, "oh, Martin, 'tis horrible! Save them! Oh, this must not, shall not be!" "'Tis but justice," says I. "These men are pirates and murderers." "This is no justice," cries she breathlessly, her face all pale and drawn. "And these men are sore hurt beside. Ah, oh, God, look! Stop them, Martin! Oh, stop them! Nay, then I will!" And here or ever I could let or stay her, she begins to clamber down into the cove. Howbeit quick and sure-footed though she was, I was presently before her, and so came running knife in hand. Nor was I any too soon. For as I reached the tree, Tressidy and Mings were dragged, choking from their feet. But with a couple of strokes, my keen knife had cut loose those deadly ropes asunder, and as the two fell, gasping on the sand, I turned to stare into the scowling eyes of Adam Penfeather. Now, as I stood thus, someone spoke twixt sigh and groan, "Bartlemy, 'tis Bartlemy!" And the word was taken up by others, "Bartlemy, Black Bartlemy!" And all men fell back from me, whilst Adam scowled at me above leveled pistol. "Hold off, Adam," I panted. "Let be, Adam Penfeather, let be." "What?" says he, peering. "And is it Martin? Lord love me now, what fool's ploy is this?" "What you will," quoth I, "only here has been enough of death for one night." "'Tis but you do think so, Martin, and you was ever a fool. I came ashore to see these two rogues hang, and hang they shall."
Now look you, Adam Penfeather, says I, scowling in turn. You've cozened and tricked me since first you crossed my path. Well, let that go. But mark this. According to your letter, 3/4 of this treasure is mine. Very well. Take it back. I'll buy these rogues' lives of you. Lord love me, says he, staring in blank amaze. What new fool craze is this? Will ye save this bloody murderer, Trusty, that drugged ye aboard ship, the man that was our bane and plague all along? The rogue hath been my deadliest enemy, seeking my destruction these 15 years, and you would save him alive. It seemeth my pistol butt must have harmed what little brain you have, and you be run stark, staring mad, Martin. Howbeit, says I mighty determined, you don't hang these men whiles I live. Why, there's no difficulty there either, Martin, for what's to stay me from hanging you along with them, or shooting you for the fool you are?
Ay, cried a voice, and there betwixt us was my lady, she all stately dignity, despite her hurried breathing, at sight of which these lawless fellows gave back one and all. Even Adam himself retreated a step, staring upon her round-eyed. Then very slowly he thrust pistols into belt, and uncovering his head bowed full low, and I fancied his thin lips twitched as he did so.
So be it, my lady, says he. I call on your ladyship to witness that I sell 2 bundles of very unseemly merchandise. And he pointed towards the 2 helpless forms at his feet. And now, with your fair leave, madam, I'll see these fellows safe aboard, and warn my lord Daring and gentlemen of your welfare and presence here. Wait, says I, as he turned to go. First I would have these my purchases set aboard a boat, with such stores needful, and cast adrift. Why, this was not in the bargain, Martin, says he, shaking his head. But it shall be done for sake of our one-time comradeship. And away he goes, and his fellows with him. True to his word, he orders the pinnace launched, and sends divers men to bear these 2 rogues aboard. Hereupon I cut away their bonds, doing the which I found Trusty still unconscious, but Mings, for all his wounds, seemed lively enough. Master, says he, staring hard at me, your name's Martin, as I think. And then what, says I, mighty short, 'tis a name I shall mind, as long as I do my own, and that is Mings, Abnegation Mings. Aye, says I, you told me this when you sang of dead men in a wood at midnight. Ah, 'twas you, was it, master? Well, here lieth poor Roger dead or dying, and me a little better. And 'tis far to the main in an ill journey. But should we come there and live, there be 2 men shall wonder at you, master, nor ever forget the name of the man as saved our necks. Howsoever, come, life or death. Here's Abnegation doth wish ye a fair wind, ever and always, master. So they bore him, together with Trusty, to the pinnace, and setting them aboard, shoved them adrift. And I watched Abnegation ply feeble oars, until the boat was through the passage in the reef, and out in the open sea beyond. Please join me next week for another exciting chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Geoffrey Farnall on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.